The first question I want to start with, though, is this. Are you living as though Jesus is dead? Are you living as though Jesus is dead? Because the good news is that, as we've been singing, we're celebrating that Jesus is alive. Jesus himself said to John, after he had died, after he rose again, he went back to his father. John had this vision and he saw Jesus. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and look, now I am alive forever and ever." Do you believe it? Have you experienced the saving and life-giving presence and power of the risen King Jesus? Today we're going to look at this, knowing and believing the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is risen. We can truly know and believe that Jesus is alive because he tells us the truth. But there are people who have heard the truth but do not believe, or maybe some say they do believe, but they live as though Jesus were dead. And so this Resurrection Sunday, we are going to look at Luke's account in the Gospel of Luke of Jesus' resurrection. These are true words. Luke set out to write this orderly account for us about the life and the mission of Jesus so that we could have certainty and confidence in the things that we have been told. And I want to say this morning, it is true. We have good news. Jesus is risen from the dead. Have you heard any good news lately? Sometimes it can be hard to find, but perhaps you can relate to some of this. Watch this video.
Dear, we write this letter for which you have been accepted to the...
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Danielle, you gotta see this. Look at this.
How have you not seen that yet?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Start from getting it. Tell us everything.
Okay, so.
I can't believe it. What is it?
You gotta be kidding me. That's great. Hey, come here, you gotta listen to the story.
I have something to show you.
Is great.
Bring it in this tonight.
Who are we gonna tell first?
We gotta tell our moms something. Your mom and my mom.
John, come see this. The tomb. It's empty.
No matter what you're going through today, I have good news for you. The tomb is empty. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 24. This is where we'll be reading this account. We'll read the first 12 verses. And as we read, as I read, pay close attention to the responses of the different people in this account. So again, Luke 24, if you do have a Bible or on your phone, let's turn there. We'll start at verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. This is God's word. The words will be on the screen as well. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they, and that's the women, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man," this is referring to Jesus, when we see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, "must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, that's the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. Your Bible might say nonsense. And they did not believe them. Verse 12, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Are you living as though Jesus is dead? Now, we see some examples here in these verses of people who did still believe that Jesus was dead. The women, they came to the tomb. They had some spices with them because they wanted to put those on Jesus' decaying body. In another account, it says that they were wondering, well, who is going to roll the stone away in front of the tomb? Well, that problem was solved, but the problem of where was Jesus' body so that we could put the spices on? They still had that problem, not that it was a problem. Also, the 11 disciples, they didn't believe the woman when they told them about the empty tomb. They had forgotten what Jesus said, and they were left in disbelief for a time. They thought that Jesus was still dead. But there were some others that remembered Jesus' words, and they did something about it, but they didn't do the right thing, even though they did remember Jesus' words. We get this in another account in Matthew 27. You don't need to turn there, but it was the chief priests and the Pharisees, these religious leaders. They gathered before Pilate, the Roman governor, and they said, "Sir, we remember how this imposter said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' And so therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal away the body and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." And so these religious leaders, they plan to get rid of Jesus. They secure the grave so that they could silence Jesus. But this did not work. No amount of securing of the tomb would stop the Son of Man, the Son of God, from coming out. Nobody would stop the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this weekend, we've already remembered Good Friday, the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross in our place. Jesus cried out from the cross. I know on the live stream you can't see this banner, but in the middle, "It is finished." That was his cry from the cross. The work that he came to do, he accomplished. This was to do the will of the Father. And he made a way for sinful humanity to once again be in a right relationship with a perfect, holy, and just God. And the resurrection of Jesus proves that he has the power to conquer sin and death. And now from the verses that we read, Luke is very clear in what he says. Jesus tells the truth. Jesus tells the truth. This is exactly what Jesus said would happen. Multiple times, in fact, these two men at the empty tomb, they said to the frightened women, they said in verses 5 and 7 again of our text in Luke 24, they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man," again, that's Jesus, "must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." These are Jesus' words. In fact, we encountered these words earlier in the book of Luke. Luke 9 is one of those. Peter had just given that great confession. He said, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus, he goes on to explain. He says, don't tell anybody yet about this. But he said, the Son of Man, again referring to himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. They had heard this. Another account in Luke 18, Jesus explains, again, everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, that's whipping him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. Jesus tells the truth. Jesus said that these things would happen. We can take Jesus at his word. Author and pastor Kevin DeYoung, he wrote this. He said, we can't trust everything we read on the internet. Did you know that? We can't trust everything we hear from our professors. We certainly can't trust all the facts given by our politicians. We can't even trust the fact checkers who check those facts. Statistics can be manipulated. Photographs can be faked. Magazine covers can be airbrushed. Our teachers, our friends, our science, our studies, even our eyes can deceive us. But the Word of God is entirely true and always true. And we can trust that Jesus' words recorded for us in the Bible are true words. Jesus said this himself. He said in John 14, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus not only speaks the truth, but he is the truth. And so we would do well to remember the words of Jesus. If Jesus is the truth, if he tells the truth, we need to remember his word. And this is what the women did. Verse 8 in our text says, and they remembered his words. They were reminded by these two men, likely two angels, about the truth of what had taken place. These women at the empty tomb, they remember Jesus' words. And then this motivates them to go and tell the disciples and the others. This is good news that they just couldn't keep to themselves. So they go and they share the good news that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is risen just as he said. Just as he said. But some will not believe. Some will not believe this truth, even if they're told, even if they have the evidence and the proof. Verses 10 and 11. Again, it says, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe him. Now, it's really neat that in the Gospel of Luke, that Luke, he has the most references to women in his account. And in these verses, he gives further detail by mentioning some of their names. And when these women, they tell Jesus' friends these words of truth, to them, it was like nonsense. It was an idle tale, like someone was telling what they dreamt about last night. Or if you would hear a story from a kid in elementary school, and they exaggerate and just, it doesn't seem to make sense. It's pretend, it's tomfoolery, it's a silly story, and it wouldn't have happened that way for sure. But we know that the disciples in the coming days, they would see the risen Lord. Jesus would appear to them, and they were eyewitnesses that Jesus had died, that he was buried, but that he was also raised. And there's one particular disciple, Thomas. He wasn't with the others when Jesus had first appeared to them. And Thomas, he told them this. After the disciples, in this John 20, the other disciples, they said, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, he said this, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, what does he say? I will never believe. Is this how you respond to truth? The truth of the resurrection, this truth that we're talking about, that it's nonsense, it's just made up. This is just a cultural thing or history, the church. Or, like Thomas, unless you see real proof, you wanted to see the actual scars of the nails, that you wouldn't believe. But Jesus then graciously does visit again, and Thomas is there this time, and Jesus says this again in John 20. Jesus said to Thomas, just hear the compassion in his voice, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And then Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us. We haven't seen, but we believe. And we have good reason to believe. That even if some will not believe, that we can know and believe the truth. And this is by God's grace in our lives, that we can know and believe the truth. We have the Word of God recorded for us, and it's been preserved for us. We can be confident that what we have in this Word, in this book, is the truth. And we can put our trust in who Jesus is, truly God and truly man. This is Jesus. And what did he do for us? He was crucified. He did die. He was buried, and he rose on the third day. He returned to heaven, and he will come again in glory and in judgment. Do you know this? And then do you believe it? Then, if you do believe it, marvel at the truth. Marvel at the truth. Verse 12, but Peter rose and he ran to the tomb. Looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter had to see for himself. He was the bold disciple, always speaking before he was thinking. But in this case, after all that had gone on in this last week of Jesus' life, Peter has to see for himself. Did what Jesus actually say would happen in that way? And Peter sees the grave clothes by themselves. There was no body in that linen. Jesus had left those behind, bursting out of the tomb in victory. Death could not hold him. He silenced the boast of sin and grave, for he was raised to life again. And Peter goes home marveling at what had happened. He was filled with wonder. This is amazing. Dead people just don't come alive and walk out of the grave. Have you seen that? But this happened just as Jesus said that it would. It was the truth. It's amazing, and we should be filled with wonder at the reality of it. And Peter thought, that I had to go and see it. But even though Peter denied knowing Jesus just before he was crucified, Peter would later be restored, and he would be a strong leader in the church, in the early church after Jesus had returned to his Father. And Peter would testify before his own people. It was in front of a Jewish crowd that Peter said these words about Jesus. And so in Acts 2, this is what Peter said. He was preaching. He said, God publicly endorsed Jesus, the Nazarene, by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Death could not hold Jesus down. The grave could not keep him in. He is not here, but is risen. Let us marvel, and may we be filled with awe and wonder at this amazing truth that Jesus is indeed risen. Jesus is risen. Jesus, Christ is Lord. We praise his holy name forever. He's risen just as he said. It is true. Do you know this? But not only do you just know it or know about it, but do you believe it? If Jesus had not died, if he had not been raised as it happened, then God's word would be false. We wouldn't be able to trust Jesus. He said that would happen. If it didn't happen, then he would be false. But Jesus did die and he did rise. And so we can trust his words. We can trust the Bible. And so again, author Kevin DeYoung, he shares this account about John Newton, the slave trader. He wrote the well-known song, Amazing Grace. He was a pastor, hymn writer, and he tells this story of visiting a simple woman who had died at a young age. And a few days before her death, Newton prayed with her and thanked the Lord that he gave her now to see that she had not followed cunningly devised fables. And at this last remark, the woman repeated Newton's words and said, No, not cunningly devised fables. These are realities indeed. Then she fixed her eyes upon Newton, reminding him of his weighty vocation as a preacher and the seriousness of truth. She said this, Sir, you are highly favored in being called to preach the gospel. I've often heard you with pleasure, but give me leave to tell you that I now see all you have said or can say is comparatively but little. Nor, till you come into my situation and have death and eternity in full view, will it be possible for you to conceive the vast weight and importance of the truths that you declare. And so, reflecting on this woman's final days, Newton found in her testimony, as he often did in visiting the sick and the dying, the supporting evidence for these grand truths of the gospel spoken by God in his word. Oh, sir, the woman exclaimed, it is a serious thing to die. No words can express what is needful in a dying hour. She said those words, I'll quote from the author. No words can express what is needful in our dying hour, but there are words to sustain us in that moment. And in every moment from this hour until that, they are the words of truth, the words of life, the never-failing, never-falling, Christ-exalting, Spirit-inspired, God-breathed words of Holy Scripture. Sticking with the Scriptures may seem like a light thing now, but we will feel the weight of it someday. There will come a time when it will be shown whether our lives were founded upon trivialities or realities. Or we could say, are we believing the nonsense of an idle tale? Or are our lives founded on the truth of Jesus' words? Are you living as though Jesus is dead? Jesus can be trusted, and he tells the truth. Remember his words. His words are truth. He is the truth. But some will not believe. But will you know and believe the truth? Do you believe it? Will you give your life to the truth rather than counting it as nonsense and or foolishness? And then marvel at the truth. Be amazed by it. The truth that Jesus is risen. He is alive. Do you know who Jesus is? We've been talking about what happened almost 2,000 years ago, and it can change our lives for today, for tomorrow, and for the day after that. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you would have life in his name. Jesus' death satisfied the demands of a holy God against sin. God said that the soul that sins will die, but Jesus took our place on that cross. We remember that on Good Friday. Jesus took our place. He took the punishment of sin on himself, the punishment that we deserve. And when we turn from our sin and believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for us, then we can be saved. So I'll ask you, are you bearing the weight of sin this morning? Believe in Jesus. There is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. His death provided the way to experience forgiveness and freedom in him. This morning, are you not persuaded? Do you still believe this isn't true? You perhaps think that a man who died so long ago and did rise from the dead, that doesn't have any effect on my life today. Perhaps you think that you're fine on your own without him. But set aside your skepticism and your doubt and believe in Jesus. Jesus' resurrection proves that he has the power to conquer sin and death. He rose from the dead in glory and power, never to die again. And I want to encourage you, if you're overwhelmed by some difficulty today, believe in Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. He came to give abundant life through the power of his resurrection, both now and forevermore. The resurrection is proof positive that Jesus' teaching was and is true. And when Jesus said it, it came to pass. And this gives us confidence that when we read other promises that Jesus gave for us, that they're true as well. His promise to return for his people, his promise to judge the world, and his promise to bring his people to a place that he's prepared for them. These also are true. We can trust them because Jesus is alive. He rose again. And so, rather than living our lives where we believe Jesus is dead, will you live your life today knowing that Jesus is alive? Live in awe and wonder at the crucified and risen Savior. Know and believe that Jesus is alive. We can trust what he has given us in his word, the Bible. And so will you give the Bible the priority that it deserves in your life and in the decisions that you make? Knowing and believing that Jesus is alive, will you worship him? Will you serve him because of what he has done for you and because Jesus is alive? And we serve and we worship him out of love and thankfulness in our hearts for what he has done. And because of what he has promised for us, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so may we all be encouraged and challenged to live today knowing and believing this truth. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. The tomb is empty. I'm going to close in prayer. And we're going to have a song and a baptism after that. But let's close in prayer at this time. Gracious Father, thank you for this account that we can read in Luke. These are true words that you, God, by your grace and because of your love for us, you have kept these for us. You have preserved them for us. And Lord, we can read them now. Lord, I pray that you would move us from just knowing about you to really believing and putting our lives in your care, in your hands. Thank you for the truth of what you have done for us. And so, Lord, we celebrate, we remember that Jesus is alive, that he's risen. And Father, I pray for those who today would say that perhaps they don't know you, that they don't know the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, that you would draw them into your family, Father. And Lord, I pray for those who are hurting in our midst, Lord. We know that we're missing loved ones. But Lord, we thank you for those that are in Christ, that we will see them again. That because of Jesus, we can know that we will be in heaven one day with you. Thank you for that hope that we have in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.